Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 Kechit vikalpa vasana. Ahur Atmanam Atmanah.
Ahur Atmanam Atmanah.
Daivam Anye Pare Karma.
Daivam Anye Pare Karma.
Swabhavam Apare Prabhum.
Swabhavam Apare Prabhum.
Kechit Vikalpa Vasana.
Kechit Vikalpa Vasana.
Ahur Atmanam Atmanah.
Ahur Atmanam Atmanah.
Daivam Anye Pare Karma.
Daivam Anye Pare Karma.
Swabhavam Apare Prabhum.
Swabhavam Apare Prabhum.
Kechit.
Kechit.
Some of them.
Some of them.
Vikalpa Vasana.
Vikalpa Vasana.
Those who deny all kinds of duality.
Ah ho ho.
Declare.
Atmanam.
Own self.
Atmanah.
Of the self.
Daivam.
Superhuman.
Anye.
Others.
Appare.
Someone else.
Karma.
Activity.
Activity.
Svabhavam.
Material nature.
Appare. Many others. Prabhum.
Authorities.
The context before the translation is, this is Mother Earth and Dharma in the form of a cow and a bull responding to Maharaj Prakshit's question, what's the cause of their suffering? Because personality Kali has been breaking the legs of the bull. Maharaj Prakshit caught him red-handed. And who did it? What's the cause? We can't really say. Some of the philosophers who deny all sorts of duality declare that one's own self is responsible for his personal happiness and distress. Others say that superhuman powers are responsible, while yet others say that activity is responsible. And the gross materialists maintain that nature is the ultimate cause. This is a carryover from yesterday's verse. We discussed these different philosophies, the six darshans. Try not to put your back to Prabhupada if you can. Thank you. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. As referred to above, philosophers like Jaimini and his followers established that fruitive activity is the cause of all distress and happiness, and that even if there is a superior authority, some superhuman, powerful god or gods, he or they are also under the influence of fruitive activity because they reward result according to one's action. They say that action is not independent because action is performed by some performer, therefore the performer himself is the cause of his own happiness or distress. You've just heard some drops of poison in the form of atheistic philosophy, called Karma Mimamsa Philosophy, propounded by Jaimini and others. The living entity, so the Sanskrit of the verse, Kechit, that's some persons, Vikalpa Vasana, these two words, Sankalpa Vikalpa. Prabhupada describes this in Nectar Devotion. The mind has two functions, accepting and rejecting. Sankalpa, accepting. Vikalpa, rejecting. And so, in an endless manner, indefatigable manner, the mind is very active, contemplating how to enjoy. And the intelligence then becomes the servant of the mind, which is upside down in priority. The intelligence is called upon to figure out how to get this enjoyment happening. And the mind exercises the intelligence also indefatigably, because the idea of what enjoyment is always changing in the mind. As the mind is proposing, I think I would be happy if today I would do like this, or my life would go like this. And then as the mind is contemplating, another factor of the mind says, no, not exactly like that, maybe a little bit more like this. And as this becomes more prominent, no, not like this, maybe some combination of this and that, and so it goes. Endless sankalpa vikalpa. So that's the mental platform. We're going to hear a little bit more about the mental platform in the purport. These two terms, sankalpa vikalpa, also appear in Padma Puran, where it describes that there's principles of surrender and anukulyasya sankalpa pratikulyasya varjanam. So sankalpa, vikalpa, one should accept things that are favorable in manner of devotional service or pleasing Krishna, and things that are not pleasing to Krishna, vikalpa. So, kechit vikalpa vasana, vasana, means those who vikalpa, those who deny all types of duality, that is, they're monists. As soon as you have variety, as soon as you have more than one thing, you have two things. And if you have two things, then you don't have, according to them, you don't have the absolute anymore, because the absolute is one. You can't have the absolute in something that's not absolute. There's just one thing. There's absolute. So it's kevala advaita. This is Shankara's, the term that goes with Shankaracharya's impersonalism. Kevala advaita. Absolute monism. And so, as soon as there's any kind of anything other than one thing, vikalpa vasana, rejection of all types of duality. Some of the philosophers who deny all sorts of duality, ahur, declare, atmanam atmanaha. One is responsible for one's own happiness and distress. And this particular variety of impersonalism is, in the purport, Prabhupada's attributing this to Jaimini. Now, Jaimini says, what's primordial? Where does everything come from? It comes from karma, the laws of karma. You said this yesterday. It doesn't really matter if you want to say there's God or there's not God. It doesn't really matter. Because if there isn't God, it doesn't matter. If there is God, he's subject to, he's got to do his thing under karma. You do good stuff, you get good result. You do bad stuff, you get a bad result. So that law of karma is above whoever distributes karma. So if you want to worship God, it's okay. If you don't want to worship God, it's okay. Everything comes from karma. And which one you pick, good or bad, that's on you. And therefore, you're the cause of your own enjoyment or suffering. Karma Mimamsa philosophy. Krishna argued this to his father. Just like, not like he is a teacher of Karma Mimamsa philosophy, it's because that's impersonalism. He said to his father, why worship Indra? This Indra Yagya that you have set up? Who's Indra anyway? The laws of karma are above Indra. If you do some good work, then he has to give you a good result. If you do some bad work, he has to give you a bad result. So just to, you know, don't worry about Indra, puja. Don't worship. You don't need to worship Indra. You don't need to worship the devas. You don't need to worship. You don't need to worship, period. Just do good work. That's my religion. Just be good. Don't worry about God. If you want to worship God, okay. Just be good. Because you're the cause of your own happiness or suffering. It's atheistic philosophy. Now, when Nanda Maharaj heard what Krishna said, he's Nanda Maharaj. You know, he just loves Krishna. If Krishna says, you know, turn left, it's turn left. If Krishna says turn right, it's turn right. Whatever Krishna wants. Sure, we won't worship Indra. Well, he said, well, what about something to worship Krishna and something to worship? No, everything to worship Govardhan. Okay, everything to worship Govardhan. Now, do you have a Bhagavad Gita from shelf up here? Krishna teaches something similar to this in the 13th chapter of Bhagavad Gita. Purushak prakriti stohi bhunte prakriti jan gunan karanam gunasangos yasad asad yoni janmasu, which means Purusha, that's the living entity who's imitating God. The so-called Purusha. The Pondraka Purusha. Purusha prakriti stohi, the living entity trying to be enjoyer, situated in prakriti. Purusha prakriti sto hi. Bhunkte! I want to enjoy. Bhunkte. Prakriti jan gunan. He's trying to enjoy in the modes of nature. That spirit of trying to enjoy within the modes of nature, like identifying oneself as the enjoyer of Krishna's energy, then that attempt puts one in the position where sadasad yoni janmashu, he's causing his own happiness and distress. We can't blame Krishna. Note, Krishna says something similar, but not the same. There's a small difference. One is that above karma is Krishna. And Krishna can make the rule and Krishna can break the rule. Krishna controls what happens. And the point that we read in yesterday's verse is the speculators don't like that. They don't want to attribute a deciding principle, or to speak of a person, supreme person, who makes the rules and enforces the rules and gives exceptions to the rules. They don't like that. So it's, the atheist has a little slice of reality. There's the big picture called reality. A little slice over here is how the law of karma works. And take the rest of the picture out and you have karma mimamsa philosophy. Like, you know, there isn't a controller. Or, so what? So, what's happening in the verse here, and Prabhupada is guiding us in the purport, is we're getting a little tour of atheistic philosophies or different ideas of what's the cause of all causes. Because that's the question of Vedanta Sutra, Atato Brahma Jigyasa, Janbadiyasya Yataha. The absolute truth is that from which every... So that's, it's exploring in the form of a narration, or Puranic narration. Maharishi Parikshit, personality of Kali, Mother Earth, Dharma in the form of a bull. And what's coming out is, what's the cause of all causes? And the two are saying, we don't know what the cause of all causes is. Some say this, and some say that. Little inventory of different things people say. And then it's up to Maharishi Parikshit to determine. Of course, he knows. And they know also it's just helping the dialogue. Because they're devotees. But Prabhupada has explained in yesterday's purport, because they're devotees, they don't want to just fault find and say, he did it. Because it's obvious that he did it. But what's the cause of that, and what's the cause of that, and what's the cause of all causes? We can't discern that so easily. We're bewildered by all these different ideas out there. Okay, so Jaimini's Karma Mimamsa philosophy is one of them, where duality is rejected. So it's an absolute monism kind of idea. And the living entity is the cause of his own suffering. Okay? Because he's chosen bad karma instead of good karma, so he has to suffer. Then, next, daivam anye. There's others that say the demigods are the cause of one's suffering or enjoyment because we did some bad things, so they dispensed bad suffering. Then others say that activity is responsible. No, Prabhupada doesn't connect the activity is responsible part with anything other than karma mimamsa philosophy, although it's a separate item here. And swabhavam means one's nature. Swabhava, one's own nature. And this means conditioned nature. There's a constitutional nature and there's a conditioned nature. Brahma karma svabhavajam, kshatriya karma svabhavajam, vaishya karma svabhavajam. Activities are born out of svabhava, our nature. And in the conditioned state, nature means the modes with which you are associating. You associate with the mode of goodness and you have a svabhava of a brahmana. And the behaviors are brahminical. Sama, dhamma, tapaksho, cham, chamtira. So we don't, in the teaching of Bhagavad Gita is, you don't just try to fix something out here, you try to fix something in here. The quality that you carry determines the work that you do and the words that you speak and, you know, your nature. So Krishna consciousness wants to change, transform our nature, or build character, is the modern way of saying it. They call it in India, right? Character education. Because you don't, you know, anyway. In secularism, they don't want to, you know, directly refer to Bhagavad Gita. I guess in India they got to be careful too, because there are different people that don't like Bhagavad Gita or don't want to say, you know, Hinduism, so you have to say character education. But you can't train children to have a certain, you know, be tolerant of others and all those kinds of things. In a godless atmosphere, it can't. It does not happen. So, swabhava, there are those that argue, according to our swabhava, we act, and then that action determines a reaction, then we suffer. Now, Prabhupada comments something in the purport I want to spend a little bit of time with. In the Bhagavad Gita 6.5, it is also confirmed that by one's mind, freed from material affection, one can deliver himself from the sufferings of material pangs. So, one should not entangle oneself in matter by the mind's material affections. Thus, one's mind is one's friend or enemy in one's material happiness and distress. Two sentences, a little transcendental psychology lesson. Here is Bhagavad Gita 6.5. I'll read 6.4 and 6.5. 6.4. A person who is said to be elevated in yoga when, having renounced all material desires, he neither acts for sense gratification nor engages in fruitive activities. One must deliver himself with the help of his mind and not degrade himself. The mind is the friend of the conditioned soul and his enemy as well. So there's this affinity for associating with the modes of nature. Having this some discussion with somebody just the other day, and they were saying, you know, I think I finally got what Krishna consciousness is. It's devotion to Krishna. But then there's the mind. And the mind proposes so many other things, and, you know, I've been hanging out with my mind for so long. I listen, and then I get taken away from what I know is what Krishna consciousness is. And once I'm over there, you know, mind beats me up, and I get worn out, and what to do? You know, everybody knows what that one is like. We may be more aware of it or less aware of it, but it goes on. It's the conditioning influence of the mind, because the mind is the repository of desires, the sankalpa-vikalpa program. And it's just like, you don't have to start it. It's running. And it doesn't stop. Just keeps going. Try to press the pause button. No response. Stop. Shut up. It doesn't. Just keeps going. And so, that's the mind as being one's greatest enemy. It's a little psychology, Krishna conscious psychology 101, chapter 6, Bhagavad Gita. Don't identify with the mind. It's the mind contaminated by the modes of nature, just continuing to propose sankalpa, the program for enjoyment, and then changing the program for enjoyment and reprogramming the program for enjoyment and endlessly. So that's when the mind is one's greatest enemy. And instead, if one can, the yoga system is to direct the mind to the absolute instead of the ever-changing relative realm. The mind directed to the absolute. But then there are problems. There's always problems. There's problems if we accept something that's not absolute as absolute. If we have an imperfect understanding of sambandha again, something that I had intended to do yesterday evening was go through chapter 3, a little PowerPoint, of Harinam Chintamani. In Harinam Chintamani, chapter 3, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says that one of the causes of the being unable to chant properly, like, you know, with your mind absorbed in the holy name, is if the mind is carrying a misconception of what Krishna is, what the holy name is. If we don't have a basic understanding of what's what, we're going to end up in the wrong place. We're not going to be able to chant properly. So, some examples. I was at LA Rath Yatra earlier this month and was sitting at the questions answer booth, and those two girls went, Robert's sister, Chakri? That's who? Oh, Bill, excuse me, Bill's sister? She's a Christian, kind of, you know, nice girl. And she was asking about the deities, right? You know, deities of Lord Jagannath. And could you describe a little bit about the deity? So I described. Then she said, "Is it like when you see the deity, this is symbolic of something? There's something beyond the deity. It's just like the kind of prompt us to think of something beyond what the deity is." That she thought she got it, but that's a misconception. That's the form of Krishna and Krishna are not different. The name of Krishna and Krishna, because he's absolute. That worked for something that's relative. The name of something and the something are different. The absolute, that which is the source of everything, it's not a representation of something. It is. It's the absolute substance and reality. And so, if our mind can connect with that, not just a wishful kind of, as they say these days, being spiritual, where you just get out of the lower modes of nature a little bit and think about something that's a little above the lower modes of nature, and that person's spiritual. Without a proper conception of what is supreme, you know, just wait a while and see what happens. You know, the modes of nature are going to take over. And what is supreme, or, you know, what is spiritual, is actually disgusting. There has to be a real conception of what is. So that's what's going on here. This is the question. What's the cause? And they're saying, we don't know. Some say this and some say that. And vimohitaha vakya beda vimohitaha. It's too much. What is pointing us to is looking at these various options. They have a misconception of what is absolute, because it's all approaching what's the cause. Misconception of the absolute leads one in a bewildered position. For sure, for certain. Next paragraph. atheistic, materialistic Sankhyites, not Kapiladev, but the atheistic version, conclude that material nature is the cause of all causes. Sound familiar? Mechanistic science. Material nature is the cause of all causes. What's beyond material nature? Nothing's beyond material nature. It's primordial. Like you say that there's God, and what's the cause of God? Nothing, because He's the cause of everything. Here's what we say. Material nature is the cause of everything. What's the cause of material nature? It just is. It's primordial. It's there, laws of nature, that's it. And everything comes from that. We can prove it to you. Just give us some time. Look at all that we've done with that premise, material nature. We got skyrockets, and we've got computers, and we got fans, we got so much going on. Look at all that we've done. And it's just from this teaching that material nature is the cause of all causes. According to them, combinations of material elements are the causes of material happiness and distress. And disintegration of matter is the cause of freedom from all material pangs. Buddhism. Nirvana, just merge with nothingness and you're in bliss. That's the teaching. Gotama and Kanada find, it's another version, that the atomic combination is the cause of everything. And impersonalists like Ashtavakra discover that the spiritual effulgence of Brahman is the cause of all. So beyond these material things, Ashtavakra says, the spiritual effulgence of Brahman is the cause of all causes. All this stuff comes from Brahman, and so you just have to get to Brahman, and then there's happiness. But in the Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna himself declares that he is the source of the impersonal Brahman, and therefore he, the personality of Godhead, is the ultimate cause of all causes. It is also confirmed in the Brahma Samhita that Lord Krishna is the ultimate cause of all causes. End of paragraph. Now there's another verse where, you know, they go through some other options. It's tomorrow. I was thinking we can do it today, but I don't think so. And where it ends up is, so Maharaj Parikshit, what to do? We can't give the testimony at your trial of personality of Kali here, because we're bewildered. So then Maharaj Parikshit is going to give the conclusive understanding. Nice. Any comments or discussion here? Yes?
The word Swabhavam, you said, is a conditioned nature. So sometimes we find ourselves and other people in situations where we say, well, I cannot make a change because this is my nature.
Yeah.
Is that...
Yes, like that. Yeah. I call that a rubber crutch. Got my leg here, I gotta lean on this crutch because my leg hurts. Prabhupada's response to that is, very well, and by practice it becomes something else, becomes your second nature, which replaces that one, the first one. Something.
Just a comment or question, I guess, that what drives us is desire, Maharaj, to want to actually move from the position of having that rubber crutch.
like you know, the original nature of the soul plus good association. And even without good association, one can have such a desire, but one can't move. It's our, like the spark of the fire, this constitutionally fire, separated, so the spark brought back into, so we can, being over here, we're uncomfortable. I don't like this program. I thought it was going to be a good program. Enjoying apart from Krishna program, but it's not nice. The hankering of the soul for being again in relationship with Krishna is that sincere desire can help us, but it, of course it's not in and of itself sufficient. Because on the path to get back to Krishna, there's many detours and cheaters and problems, and a lot of that is just our own stuff manifesting outside in the form of somebody who's ready to cheat us. Line of the question, I'm not sure I caught it.
So just sharing an observation that Krishna puts his devotees in.
Okay, so this is an observation. And the observation punchline is?
That your devotees are so centered around Krishna that they know exactly what is required for glorifying Krishna or for glorifying the religious principles.
Yeah, for rendering their service. Yeah. Although what we're going to hear in the next purport is Prabhupada referring to Bhishma Dev's making the statement that it's very difficult to understand the purpose of the Lord. Which then another way of saying it's also difficult to understand the Lord. But we have to carry out our service. Maharaj Pariksit had to do something. In that case, Arjuna had to do something. And in our lives, we have to do something. And so we may not be so clear. Because there seems like there's conflicting understandings of what's going on, what's going on, what's going on. How to act. We should listen carefully to what Maharaj Pariksit concludes after this little blast of different ideas. Yes.
The Marla Bull also said that if I point out the cause, I also become guilty.
Yes.
In the same way that the person is.
Yes.
Whatever they're guilty of that I'm pointing them out for, I also become guilty of that if I point them out.
You become implicated in the whole chain.
Can you explain that a little bit?
To put on the other side of the scale, in the purport yesterday, Prabhupada says, they very clearly understood what had just happened. I'll read it. Although the bull, or the personality of religion, and the cow, the personality of the earth, knew perfectly well that the personality of Kali was the direct cause of their sufferings, still, as devotees of the Lord, they also knew that without the sanction of the Lord, no one could inflict trouble upon them. And Padma-prana and Bija and of past karma and fructifying. So, if we act, in short, if we act outside of Krishna consciousness, that is, we only see this, they did this to me, and we don't see Krishna in the picture, then we're implicated in the tangle of material energy. That's what it means. Now, as devotees, certainly we can say, you know, Your Honor, he pulled the trigger. But, you know, that couldn't have happened unless Krishna sang. There's Krishna's hand is in the picture. This, in fact, that's what all of this is that, you know, the big picture and little slice. And Ravindra gave a brilliant lecture in New Vrindavan, Madhavar, one of the times I had the opportunity to hear him, where he was describing, as a student of philosophy, or, you know, his PhD was in philosophy of religion. Religion has as its basis something that's true. It's just minus the whole picture, but that something that's true, they it's true, and that's their religion, minus the whole picture. And so the position of being the fault finder minus the understanding of the big picture, it's the material energy, and we're implicated in the material energy. And one is reluctant, that the statement here is the devotee, although knowing very clearly cause-effect, the devotee is reluctant to see that cause-effect outside of the context of Krishna being the sanctioner of that. Yes.
So is it that the Buddha is saying indirectly that Krishna is the cause of my suffering, but I don't want to say it?
Buddhists?
The Buddha is saying that, or inferring it.
No, they're not inferring.
Without the sanction of the Lord, it cannot happen.
Buddhists?
No, not Buddhists, the bull.
The bull?
Dhamma.
Okay.
He's saying it, or inferring it.
No, this is Prabhupada's elucidation in the purport. That's not in the statement that's directly made. The statement that's directly made is, O greatest of human beings, O Maharaj Parikshit, it is very difficult to ascertain the particular miscreant who has caused our sufferings, because we are bewildered by all the different opinions of theoretical philosophers. So Prabhupada's elucidation in the purport is helping us understand, you know, the spirit of the devotee. It's not directly in his statements. Yes. Say it again. The mind?
Mind is not controlled when it considers something which is not absolute as absolute.
Yes, that's right.
Can you further elaborate?
Yeah. You want examples or you want, what do you like? Okay. The first person who introduced me to chanting Hare Krishna was an impersonalist, and I didn't know what an impersonalist was. But chanting Krishna's name, the message was become one with the chant. That's mystical. Become one with the chant. What does that mean? Wow, that's cool. So I just, you know, become one with the chant. But as I went further along, he elaborated and said, when you're chanting, it's you and the chant, and then you and the chant, and then it's just the chant. I said, rubbish. You know, what you're saying is, I become Krishna. I'm out of here. How's that possible? Poor Krishna. I mean, look at me, and that's Krishna in a bad shape? No. So, there's a misconception. You know, that with the objective of merging with the Supreme. Or Osama bin Laden thinks, the Supreme, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And so let's go do these things. A misconception. The whole jihad thing is, as far as I'm concerned, it's a misconception of what God is and what He wants for us and so on. I've asked Islamic people, is that in the Quran? And it's stuff that came after the Quran. It's writings about the Quran. This is what you're supposed to do to be a good Muslim, is jihad. So it's a misconception that ends up in a bad result. So one can be sincerely foolish. Misdirected. Etc. A Christian notion is that God wants you to enjoy. It's not just a Christian notion. It's a notion that says God created everything and He gave it to you and He wants you to enjoy. So come on. Enjoy. Enjoy, 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 enjoy. Just be nice. Don't hurt other people, whatever that means. Different people have an idea, whatever that means. But, enjoy. Because that's what God wants. Which misconception? Can you speak on
that?
How did it come about? The modes of nature. The modes of nature are like clouds, and clouds cover the sun. The sun creates the clouds. Krishna is the cause of all causes. He creates the modes of nature which cover the living entity. Into thinking different, all varieties of misconceptions. But there's a cause of those misconceptions. Krishna sanctions it. All right? Okay, thank you very much, Srila Prabhupada.